Let me switch subjects and talk about the other part of our vision for this year and in taking stock what we think that God's called us to. If you've got a Bible, would you like to find John chapter 1? John chapter 1, verse 43. John is one of the biographies of Jesus. And this is right at the very beginning of the story of his life. John is the name of the book. The number 1 denotes the chapter. It's broken down into chapters, and then the numbers after the colon refer to verses, which is what each chapter is broken down into. It's just a way of finding our way around the book. It says this, John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, and Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth," he said, could have said Barnsley or Bradford. "Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree." Before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Is anybody here as a result of an invitation from somebody else at any point in the past? Yeah? Who invited you?
Beryl.
Who invited you, Judy?
Sally.
Who invited you, Sally? You can't remember that long ago. Paul, who invited you?
Anne White.
Those of you who've decided to follow Jesus have made the most significant decision a human being can make. And you are experiencing his forgiveness and his redemption, and your lives are being transformed as your relationship with the King of the universe is being restored. It's an amazing thing. And how did you come to respond to Jesus? Almost always, because somebody invited you. Almost always, somebody invited you. At some time, somewhere, in some place, somebody extended an invitation into a space where you saw or heard about Jesus. For many of you, it had been your parents. They would be the ones who first took you either to church or to Sunday school or to read you a Bible story like we were encouraging Adam and Paulina to do earlier on. What an enormous debt of gratitude, those of us for whom that's true. What a debt of gratitude we owe our parents for doing that. That's the most amazing gift they gave us. And those of us with children, we must never tire of making that continual invitation to them. They're going to go through phases when they don't want to be involved in church and it's not cool and don't do anything that you do, that's for sure. We must still make the invitation. It's the most important thing you'll ever do for your kids. It's more important than their education, than their health, than anything else, is that you introduce them to Jesus. That will transform their lives forever. Keep doing it. Invitation is a crucial component in the sequence that leads to somebody deciding to surrender their lives to Jesus. And in 2016, we're going to become a community who love to invite even more than we already do. We're going to become a bunch of people who can't wait to invite a friend or a neighbor or a work colleague or a stranger to come and hear who Jesus is. A group of people who have a track record of invitation, who think as inviters, who organize their lives to invite, who have overcome their fears and inhibitions about saying, "Come and see." I don't mean that you have to go out from here and every week bring somebody to come on a Sunday morning. You might do, it's a good thing to do, but that's not what I mean. This is about a perspective of bringing people in to meet Jesus somehow, somewhere. And we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. We'll unpack that a bit. Let's just look at what happens here in John chapter 1. One of the first inviters was Philip. The day before this little passage, Jesus had called Andrew, and Andrew had called Simon, had gone and found Simon Peter. This day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, it says, and he says, finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. It seems that Jesus had his eye on Philip, and he sought him out, and with these two words, he revolutionized his life, wrecked him forever. Follow me. Have you heard Jesus say those words to you? Follow me. And he did something dramatic to him, because Philip dropped everything and followed him. He was probably about the same age as Jesus, so he'd have been in his early 30s, late 20s. He'd have had a job, he'd have had probably dependents, and he dropped everything and he followed him. And not only did that, he followed Jesus, but then he actually left Jesus to go and find Nathanael. What did Jesus do to Paul, to Phil? What did he do to him? He did something to him to make him run after Jesus, make him leave everything to join Jesus and to run after Nathanael. I think when Jesus made that invitation, he reached into his heart. I think Jesus looked at him, and he looked into his heart and soul, and at that moment, Phil knew that he was known and called and loved. That at last he had a purpose and an identity, and he was willing to lay everything down at that point. Have you heard his invitation? And what's he done for you? What is he doing for you in your life now? Those of you who follow Jesus, what's going on? What would it be like if you weren't following him? And then in verse 45, it says that Philip found Nathanael. So he went to Nathanael, and it says, we have found the one. He knew who Jesus was. Do you know who Jesus is? See, I think Phil and Nat spent many an evening after work over a pint of Galilean Best trying to work out, who is this Messiah? When's he going to come and rescue us? What's the meaning of life? Who is this one that we've been reading about in our books and are prophesied over? And then Phil comes running up to him and he says, I found him. I found him, he says. It's interesting what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, hey, I found a great book. Read this book. It's about the 7 habits to make you highly successful and purpose in your life. He didn't come with saying, here's a new diet, try this. This will make you feel better. He didn't come saying, hey, have you seen this app on my phone? This will transform your life. He didn't come saying, there's this church down the road with fantastic worship. Real brilliant live band. He didn't say, I found a place where they serve you free hot drinks outside and donuts. What he says is, I found the one. I found a person. It's not a formula or an event or a pill. It's a person. It's a relationship. Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? And when we want to say hello to somebody and say, I found the one, we're met with cynicism, aren't we? That's what Philip meets with. What does he say? In verse 46, Nathanael says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? We live in a society full of skepticism, which is the requirement to ask questions and interrogate. And that's a good thing to do most of the time, not always. But we're also trained to be cynical, and we live in a cynical world, which is where the assumption is that it's broken and wrong and bad and failure. And that's our starting point. That's not good. That's not a good way to live and to think. And we're surrounded by that. And how does Phil respond to that cynical response? Can anything good come out of that? Phil doesn't rise to debate. He doesn't get drawn into discussion. He just makes the simplest of invitations. What's the invitation? Verse 46, he says, come and see. Come and see. That's all we have to do. to say, come and see. It's beautifully unsophisticated. I don't know what Phil was thinking Nat would see, actually. Because Jesus hadn't started doing all the miracles and turning water into wine and walking on water and all that and casting out demons. He hadn't started doing all that stuff. So it wasn't an event or a thing. He just had met somebody, the person. And all that the invitation does is to give us a chance to give a line of sight for the person to Jesus, or actually for Jesus to see the person. Look at the next verse, 47. Because Jesus already sees him. It says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, there's no bad thing in this guy. I love that. It's like a tractor beam. Nat comes within sight of Jesus, and Jesus sees him. And he doesn't condemn him. He doesn't judge him. He doesn't preach at him. He just tells him he's great. I really like that. What must have that been like for Nat? Being introduced to the one, you know, it's the Matrix, it's Neo. And this guy says, I see you and you're great. Yeah. Nathanael says, what? How do you know me? How do you know me? And then verse 48, he says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Now, I'm reading into the text here, but I think that Nathanael was taking a quick break from his emails and was sitting under the tree, and he was saying, oh God, are you there? Do you see me? And an hour later, he meets the one who says, I saw you under the olive tree. I think that's what's going on. Jesus saw him. It's the same with your friends, the people you invite. Jesus sees them already. He's listening to them. The Holy Spirit is at his work. He's pursuing, staying close, always being there. At the moment they turn, he's there. And when we make an invitation, we're simply connecting a person we've met, Jesus, with somebody who's on the verge of meeting him. All we have to say is, come and see. In this case, Nathanael was ready. He was like an apple, ready to be plucked. Just touch it and it falls off the tree. And he came. At other times, Phil would have had an outright rejection, even a get lost. Actually, the response doesn't matter. That's not Philip's problem. Philip's issue is to say, come and see. What the person reacts, that's up to God and to the Holy Spirit's work in his life. We don't have to make a clever reply. We simply have to say, come and see. And in the coming weeks, we're going to look at reasons we sometimes find it difficult to invite people. We'll discuss just what it is that we're inviting people to. And I think you'll find it really, really helpful in many areas of your life. For now, let me just go back to my three questions. Have you heard Jesus' invitation? Have you heard his voice say, follow me? Just say that to yourself. Your name, follow me. In your mind. Have you heard that? What is he doing in you now? What's he doing? And do you know who he is? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you that you have said those two simple words to each of us, follow me. And we want to follow you. Show us how to follow you. And I pray that you will show each of the people in this room right now the face, the name, the information about somebody that they can go to and say, I found somebody. I found him. I found the answer. So you can say, come and see. And as I've been praying, you've been given, many of you, most of you have got that name in your mind now. You know who that is. And I'd encourage you to pray for them and look for the opportunity to come and tell them to come and see. I'm just going to invite Andrew and Sally and Max and Molly just to come up and lead us in prayer a bit and to see what the Lord's saying to us. In a few moments' time, they'll release those of you who've got children to go and get them. But this is an opportunity for the Lord to speak to us individually.